Pastor Amir has done a great job in many ways. Yeah. So he's works in InReach and is a great servant. And this morning we spoke about being Spirit-filled and what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. And we feel that in our church. And he had it in his heart to really start a recovery program. Pastor Lightsey started one years ago and has done a great job. And then Pastor Amir came into the picture, and I just wanted to share from his heart something about what's happening here with recovery. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Shelley. Yeah. So we have recovery meeting every Friday night. We start around 6 p.m. And in preparation for everything, we go there at 6 p.m. at the Greater Grace Auditorium. We prepared everything, and the actual program starts at 7 to 9. So we have a wonderful program every Friday, and I have a wonderful team working with me. I'm so thankful to them, and I'm above everything else, I'm so thankful that they are giving me a lot of grace with the way how I lead them, and every mistakes that goes along the way, and every accent that brings confusion sometimes. I say the word, but it's a different word when they hear it, and so I love everybody that works with me on Friday, and they have a laid down life just like mine, I think. So we have a very good program, and I highly recommend it to you. We plan for this, we pray for this with Pastor Schaller's overhead vision, and I'm just being led by God to execute that, because we have to honor the vision, right? We have to honor what God is giving to us as a church. So recovery meeting every Friday, highly recommended. We got everything that the people will look for. We got a group counseling, we got individual counseling, we have a food pantry that they can avail for pre-food. We have provided recently a children's program, because some of the parents are coming in the meeting, both of them, so they have kids come with them. So we have people taking care of the kids as well. It's not only substance abuse. It's not only about drug addiction or alcohol. It's also about mental health issues. And if you know about that, I don't have to elaborate it right now, but if you know about any kind of mental health issues, we also deal with that in Friday night program. We are capable because we have the Bible, we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have the Word of God, we have the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. What else you can ask for? We have the Word of God is the most amazing. Hebrews 4:12, right? The Word of God is alive, it's powerful, it's a double-edged sword that penetrates the soul and the spirit of everyone. So we use that as our main tool, and we're mainly doing biblical counseling. Like Christ is the center of our counseling. And in the group, when we do the group meeting at the second part of the Friday night meeting, we want to make sure that Christ is exalted in the group, and we have to give a solution based on the Word of God. So if you've never been there, come and visit us. And if you are being called to help people who are struggling with substance abuse or mental health issues, please come and help us. You are welcome. And I would be happy to welcome you with both of my hands. You're like, come and help us. I have a very good team, but it's not going to hurt if all of you is going to come. And if we know somebody who is struggling, invite them on a Friday night meeting. And I'm pretty sure God will show up. The other thing I would like to say was Pastor Schaller's message, not only today, was also last Wednesday. And the message last Wednesday was also awesome. And he was preaching, and I was sitting next to the other pastor that is close to me. But as I was listening to the Word of God, I was literally crying. I was crying, you know, but I don't want anybody to see it. So I would just simply grab my arm and just kind of like wiping my eyes like that. And today, the message about the garments and everything about Leviticus, we had read that verses before, but we never seen that way, like about the leprosy and everything. And it's kind of like opened the window for us to search more about the Word of God and be dependent on the Holy Spirit and giving us what the meaning of these words. Because we read that a lot of times, but we did not see it the way our pastor was sharing it to us today. Isn't it amazing? Like the leprosy and the garments and the warp and what's the other word? And you know, the weaving and everything. And when you touch it, you know, when it touches you, you're automatically infected. But it's like the sin that goes with us. And also, like the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we are waiting for a long time for the Holy Spirit to do something in our lives. And it's just worth waiting when we know that the next thing that will happen is He will empower us before He send us, right? So they waited in Acts chapter 2, they waited for the Holy Spirit to come to them, and then they are ready to go. And sometimes it's like that. We're waiting for a long time, and then the Holy Spirit comes, and then we are ready to go and do something. So if you feel like you're waiting and waiting for more than 10 days to something happen to your ministry or to your spiritual life, just be patient to yourself. Just rest before God and knowing that someday, when we are ready, God will send us in our merry way. Amen? So that's my small testimony tonight. Thank you.
The beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, we read that the Spirit of God moved on the waters. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Our theme this morning was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the high school play yesterday and Friday was awesome. I enjoyed it. The actors and actresses did a great job on the subject of love, using Shakespeare and Song of Solomon and Dan Dunbar and Carolyn Peters wrote it, and they did a great job. I'm so blessed by our school. A visitor came, and when she left, she said to her neighbor, this is the first time I have hope for the next generation. Yeah, don't give up. God's Spirit is moving on the face of the waters. When the earth was without form and void, maybe we could say some disaster. When the world is in the condition it is in, don't give up because the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is powerful. Holy Spirit can put the waters in order. Holy Spirit can melt the snow, Psalm 148. Holy Spirit can speak the word. And it says in Ezekiel 3, God said to Ezekiel, eat the scroll. And then it said the Spirit caused him to eat the scroll. Christ came into the world and he did what he did by the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but another comes after. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with fire. Christ told his disciples that the Spirit would come, and he is the same as Christ. Not the same person, but the same in essence. For he is God. We said this morning there were four words that we wanted to mention for what the Spirit does today with us. And I'll mention them to you. He empowers us. He gives us power. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There was an old man at the time of Jesus' birth. Jesus was 8 days old and to be circumcised. And the old man's name was Simeon. And he said that God had showed him he would see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, before he died. How did he know that? The Lord showed him. The Spirit of God showed him. Spirit of God can tell us about the future. Spirit of God can tell us about what's going on, give us understanding. Second word is enlightenment. He enlightens us. That's why the Bible is so precious to us, because it's treasure. We open it up, it's treasure. It's honey, it's sweet in our mouth. Roll it around in our mouth, roll it around words. Words of life, words which are spirit in their life. Third word purifies. Holy Spirit, like fire, purifies, cleanses us. We are lepers, but the Holy Spirit purifies us because of the cross. He has the power to do that. This is our blessing today. We are gifted by the Holy Spirit. We have another spirit like Caleb did in Numbers 14. Caleb had another spirit. So we see men and women in the Bible that were moved by the Spirit. If you turn with me to Judges chapter 13, we see one of our favorite characters, at least one of mine. His name is Samson. Judges chapter 13. The country was in a big problem, the country of Israel. They were oppressed. Big problem. Oppressed, fearful people, afraid, no weapons. No power to make weapons, no swords, no arrows or bows and arrows, no swords or knives. They had farm implements, tools like for farming, but nobody with a heart to use a farm tool to destroy the enemy. This family was told by an angel they would have a great son, and this is Judges 13. Verse 24, the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. The child grew. The Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Verse 25. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Has that ever happened to you? The Spirit of the Lord began to move him. We have a brother here, Jake Davenport, sitting in the back there from Federal Hill Church. Love that guy. Can't figure out why he's here, except this verse. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. He reminds me of myself. Why did I go to Bible school? I don't know. Exactly. I was counting the tiles on the ceiling and the windows and bored and listening and distracted, and the Spirit of God began to move me. He moved me. I started to listen. I started to believe. That's what God does. Without the Holy Spirit, then none of this would be happening. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not be building a dorm on our property of $2.5 million project. without the Spirit of the Lord. We don't want to do it without the Spirit of the Lord moving us, leading us to go into the world with the gospel, to study our Bible, get on our knees, confess our sin, and say, I'm a leper, and I need cleansing. But this happened to Samson. I don't know what happened to him. It just says the Spirit of God began to move him. And maybe he just started to like look up and believe that with God everything is possible and kind of get our eyes off ourselves and be Spirit-filled people. So this is verse 25. It began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. We see in chapter 14, he could fight. He was not afraid. Verse 19 of chapter 14, Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them. These are Philistines, took their spoil, gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. Chapter 15, he is fighting again. He defeats the enemy. He's very thirsty. He says, I think I'm going to die. He's been fighting. I think he killed 800 uncircumcised with the jawbone of an ass in verse 16. He slew 1,000 men, verse 16. There he is. You see his strength and his weakness. It's like funny. I slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass because I have no weapons. But that was the weapon. That's what I grabbed, and I did it. And then he said, here comes the weakness of Samson. I think I'm going to die if I don't get some water. I think I'll die. You mean you killed 1,000 men, and now you think you're going to die? Yeah. Okay. Here's point number two. When we are in fellowship with God, when we have communion with God, it's very much like people relating to people. And a person actually can discern if we are of the same spirit. A person can actually discern what spirit we are of. Another person can, let me give you an example. I have a plan to meet my friend, and so I say to him, I want to meet you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in front of the church. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I want to meet you there, okay, and that's all. And then I walk away. What's missing in that communication? I want to meet you at 7 o'clock in front of the church tomorrow, and then I walk away. What's missing? And I think that's like prayer sometimes for us. We tell God things in prayer. But what's missing? It should go like this. I would like to meet you at 7 o'clock tomorrow night in front of the church, and then I'm looking at the person. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for them to answer. My eyes are on their eyes. I am relating to them, and I'm like looking for them to agree with me. And what are they looking? What are they thinking? Let me see. Could you repeat that? Tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when we pray in the Spirit. And what does it mean? It is not arrogance, and I'm not telling God without waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. I'm relating to God. Lord, my aunt is sick. Heal her. Walk away. What's missing? God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. God, my aunt is sick. Her name is. You know who she is. Now I'm waiting on you. I know who you are. And you know who I am. And I am praying in the Holy Spirit for my aunt. And I am asking, I am waiting on you. I am anticipating. I am relating to you. I am fellowshipping with you in this love. You see, what I'm trying to say is there are problems that we all have with this walking in the Spirit. And Samson had it. Samson had a problem walking in the Spirit. But he was moved in the Spirit. He fulfilled the will of God in the Spirit. But look at chapter 16 and his verse 20. And she said, Delilah said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out at other times before and shake myself. He did not know that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know it. It'd be like a believer operating, and he doesn't realize it, but he's lost the Holy Spirit power, the Holy Spirit guidance, the Holy Spirit ministry. He lost the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Does he say his prayers? Yeah. But is he walking in the Spirit of God? He is raising his family. He is going to church. He is maybe reading his Bible, maybe saying his prayers. But his prayers are like this to God. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, walks away. Pastor Ramirez said something interesting. He said he prayed. He cried. He cried during the message. That was precious. I want to have that in my heart, in my life, because I see, I'll give you three examples in our Bible where the Holy Spirit is saying he's leading, he's guiding, but I don't know, why did he leave Samson? Why was the Spirit grieved? Why did he leave Samson? And Samson was left to suffer. And he suffered. But at the end, he cried out again with his eyes gone and his strength subject to his persecutors and tormentors. And God answered that last prayer. That's true. But I'm just thinking in our meditation tonight, I mean, I'll make this very short, this part. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The second example, verse 14, 1 Samuel 16, 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Well, we know in our New Testament that the Holy Spirit has sealed us and that God will never leave us or forsake us. ultimately, absolutely, there isn't any question about it, but isn't it possible for us to grieve him? Isn't it possible for us to quench him? Isn't it possible for us to lack the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life? Why do people struggle with so many addictions and attitudes and fears? And why do people deal with so much guilt and oppression and emptiness and difficulties that they have in life? Why? Why is that? Well, we read this morning in the book of Acts, in Ephesus, in chapter 19, the people said, Paul said, what were you baptized unto? And they said, John's baptism. That's John the Baptist's baptism. Have you heard of the Holy Spirit? No, we haven't even heard of such a thing of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that makes me think that's about my life before I was born again. I read it in the Catholic Church, but I never knew that the Holy Spirit was a living person who could affect my life on a Monday and a Tuesday. Never understood that the Holy Spirit could change my life. I never understood that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and that the Spirit of God could fill me so I would not be drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. I didn't know that. Not until I got saved. And I went to a church where they taught it, and I got some excited about it. I mean, I was praying I would speak in tongues. I was praying that I'd be filled with the Spirit. I was praying that God would do miracles. I was praying because I was a Pentecostal for about 4 months. I mean, when I lived in that area, and when I moved away, I found this church. And I heard the same kind of thing, a little different language, but I heard about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I heard about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I learned about victory in my life. I learned about faith. I learned about don't complain and murmur and have a bad attitude, but wake up, don't quit, keep going because God is with you. Wow. Beautiful. But here we have a story of a king who was anointed, Saul, and the Spirit isn't there for him. Now, you know, I said this morning, a father has a son as they're crossing a river, fording a river, fast-running river. I remember in Kyrgyzstan, one of those, there was no way we could ever get across. It was so dangerous. It was terrible. But I think of a different kind, and a dad with a little boy getting him over, and the son is rebellious and disobedient and not wanting to go, and it kind of grieves the dad. And then he grows up, and then he wants the son to kind of, let's jump in the car and go get an ice cream. I don't want to go. And the attitude that a son can have, or a daughter, or a family member, or a boyfriend, or girlfriend, or husband, or wife, how easy this can happen. And God has that problem with Israel. And he goes, I'm drawing you. I want you. Come on. I got a lot for you. But they will not go. Psalm 78. So he sent his son. Christ came. If you follow him, you will find you can get across the river. You'll find he can carry you. You'll find that he can speak to you, that he does speak to you. You will find an increase. An increase? Yeah. Increase in the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? I really believe that. You're going to have more of him, Mark 4. More of God. I've always thought about that verse With what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. If I want a teaspoon of God, that's what I'll get. If I want a swimming pool of God, that's what he wants to give me. There is no limit with God. God will give more and more and more, like he did his son, Jesus Christ. Christ, obedient, anointed. Christ, broken, obedient, anointed. And more that came to Jesus. Without measure, it says in John 3, he gave the Spirit without measure to Christ. Christ is the fullness of God. Christ has been highly exalted. Christ is an example for us. So, what happens to Samson? He shook himself like other times, but the power wasn't there. Here, the king, it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. God is saying in a way to a believer, okay, you want it your way? You can have it your way. I am here. We're crossing over. I love you. You're my friend. We have a relationship. I can let you run. I can let you run. So our backslidings reprove us. Jeremiah 2:19. We find it's hard, the way of the transgressor. He is hard. I've seen it. The stubbornness, 1 Samuel 15:22. Stubbornness is like witchcraft. I've seen it. People are stubborn. They got it. They do it their own way. They live their own. They are just not broken. They are not broken. They are not broken. God requires a broken spirit and contrite heart. Humility. I need you, God. I need you. Oh, no, you really? Do you really need me? No, I need you, God. I need you. Really? Do you really need me? Can't you go on your own? Do it your own way, can't you? And that's what it means. I quench the Spirit. I grieve the Holy Spirit. And I get hard in my... And this is the third example and the last one. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. And I won't go into the detail. I think you know the story. Maybe a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. They had a farm, maybe. I'll just make up a story with numbers. $200,000 they sold it for. But they lied. Because they wanted to lead the apostles and the church to believe that they gave it all. So they said something like, we sold it for $100,000, and we're bringing the $100,000 to you. We're bringing $100,000 to the church as a donation, and we're giving all of it to the church, $100,000. But it wasn't true. It was actually $200,000, but they didn't tell the truth. Can you imagine lying like that? I can. Sure, I've done that before. Have you lied before? Can you imagine making up a story, cheating a little bit, lying a little bit? I can, but you know what? You have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit doesn't allow you to do that. I can't lie. I can't cheat like that. I got to tell the truth. Here's the truth. Truth is, we sold it for $200,000. We don't want to give it all to the church. We give half of it to the church. That's the truth. Thank you very much. That's amazing. Or whatever the numbers are. The point is, you can't lie. You and I can't lie anymore. God cannot lie, and the Holy Spirit in you cannot lie. You can't lie. That's not, we can't lie anymore. We have to tell the truth. That's the way it is. I read an amazing missionary story. I'll tell you this short story. These missionaries, 1869, in Canada with Indians, these missionaries, they're in a canoe. There's two white men, one Indian in the front of the canoe. And the Indian said, there's some ducks over there. Hand me the rifle. So they had this rifle in the back. The guy in the back cocked it, passed it up to the second missionary. He took the gun, the trigger hit the paddle, fired off, and shot the Indian in the head and killed him. These two missionaries are devastated because he was a man of God. He was their translator. The Indian's dead. And in Indian culture, that means somebody's going to die. And the second guy in the middle that actually, well, they were both part of the accident, but he said, I had to go to the tribe and tell them what had happened. And I knew that they would probably kill me, but I had to do it. They brought the body to the shore. They buried the body. Then they had to go back. They had to go to the tribe. They had to go there, and the guy had to tell them what had happened and that he was one of the responsible people for the accident. The Indian tribesmen, the chieftain, and the tribesmen were all talking and saying they have to kill him now and the whole thing. But God saved him. When I was thinking of the story, I was thinking about telling the truth. Yeah, sometimes there are things we just have to face the music. Maybe sometimes terrible things happen. But there's something about your life where you are different now because of God. It's amazing. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the stories that go on in that book, it's called The Canoe and Dog Sled. A great book, old book. With these stories in it, and I just want to say as we finish here, this story shows us how it can go. Verse 2, they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why is Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Who are you lying to? The Holy Spirit. Satan has filled your heart. But these are Christians. Satan has filled the heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And to keep back part of the price of the land, verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Meaning, you could do whatever you want, but you can't lie about it. You can do whatever you want with your own money, but you can't lie about it. So why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Because I'm independent of the Holy Spirit because I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's how I'm living. And I'm part of the church, so that's how I'm living. And that's just the way it goes. This is how I'm living. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I have something in my heart, and I'm lying. I have jealousy in my heart. I have some kind of boredom in my heart. I have judgmental spirit in my heart. I'm judging Greater Grace, World Outreach, or the Baptist Church, or whatever it is. Pastor so-and-so or some Eddie so-and-so or Jimmy or Nancy or Debbie or whoever they are. It's in my heart. And Jesus is saying, come on, let's go together. Hey, you got to deal with that thing that's in your heart. What, Lord, what? And Jesus says, you know, that thing in your heart. And you say, thank you, Jesus. I would rather have fellowship with you, Jesus, and your teaching and your love and your nature and your character, and be reduced to simply faith in you and obey you and follow you and find my life enriched by the filling of the Spirit than have my own way and have something else fill my heart. How many people in this world are suffering because Satan has filled their hearts and they just live that way? And they're not bringing it before God. That's why when we have a church and we have God's word speaking, he'll catch me somewhere. What about that? And I say, yes, Lord. We are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I want you to fill me. Thank you, Jesus. Draw this simple picture here. I think it doesn't work. Okay. Okay. Pastor Steve says, doesn't work. Not working. Drop the pencil. It doesn't work. Okay, so simple picture. You know what the Holy Spirit will do with you and your world? He will make it bigger. He will. Holy Spirit will help you. He will help you. Ananias and Sapphira, their scheme was too small for the way they are made. They are made to walk with Jesus. Jesus said, how much you sell your house for? 200,000. How much are you going to give the church? 7,000? Wow, God bless you. Doesn't matter what the numbers are. The point is, can you walk with me? Can you trust me? I know you're angry about your ex-wife, but you better forgive her. I know you're depressed about your child, but get a grip. Walk with Jesus. He'll help you. I know it hurts, but I know the Holy Spirit can move on the water, and the Holy Spirit can turn Peter into an apostle, and the Holy Spirit can do his work. But I want to also say to you, the Spirit left Samson, and he suffered. The Spirit left King Saul, and he suffered. And the Spirit was grieved, and he was lied to by Ananias and Sapphira, and they died in Acts chapter 5. Their life was cut short. They died. 1 Corinthians 11:28-31. Are there not some sick among you, and some that are sleeping already in the graveyard, because they do not discern the body of Christ? Yeah, that's true. Well, that's fun to preach about that and to say, the Holy Spirit will never ultimately leave me, but it sure looks like he's gone, to be honest. Psalm 51, David prayed this, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. What does that mean? Where is he? Where is he? But Matthew 10, verse 20, Christ said, do not worry in that hour when they drag you before the magistrates, for in that hour, don't even think about what you're going to say, because in that hour, my heavenly Father will speak. That means you've got the Holy Spirit all over you. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, for our brothers and sisters that are in different parts of the world suffering. It says that the Spirit of glory rests upon you when you are suffering for Christ's sake. When we walk with Jesus and we get in trouble, Jesus is with us and the Spirit of glory is upon us. We have authority. We have power like Samson had at that period in his life. When the Spirit moved him, he had authority. Like King Saul also, they thought he was one of the prophets because he prophesied and the Spirit of God was with him. And then it was like nothing. Wait, because if I grieve him, if I quench him, if I lie to him, if I am rebelling against him, if I am angry with God, if I'm disappointed and angry with God's people, and I'm angry with the whole thing and so on, then it might be very likely that the Spirit is grieved and waiting and grieved and waiting, and then the voice of God gets less and less and less. I'll finish with that one, I hope. No, I don't know if I get this. Got one more in there. One more picture in there, Pastor Steve. Here's King Saul. Is it there? The voice of God with King Saul. And finally, there's no voice anymore. So what does he do? He's got to talk. Samuel died. The Spirit has left King Saul. So what does he do? He goes to a witch. Can you imagine a Christian coming to this church? God is speaking to them for 20 years. God is ministering to them. The Bible is alive and open, and the Spirit of God has anointed them. They are enriched in their life, and then they are grieving the Spirit. It's like it's over. God has left them, so to speak. It seems like it. So now they're driving up Route 40 and they turn into a psychic house where they have palm reading and psychic. And why do they go there? Because nobody is talking to me. I've lost God. That's a crazy story. But that's what happened to him. King Saul had to go to a witch. I said, can you call up Samuel? And she did. And the witch was shocked. It really was Samuel. And Samuel said, why are you calling me? And Saul said, because I don't have anybody to talk to. Nobody's talking to me. It's over. Nobody's talking to me. And Samuel said, tomorrow you will be with me. Meaning Saul will go to heaven. Tomorrow Saul will die in battle and he'll go and be with Samuel and he will go to heaven. But in this life, he was living without the power, without the filling, without the ministry. And that's what we must cherish. That's what we must always relate to. And that's how we want to live. Praying in the Spirit. So let's say it this way. Lord, could I meet you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in front of the church? I'm waiting. Because God wants to see my face, Psalm 27. God wants to know my heart. God wants to know what's in my heart. God wants to know what is my attitude. God wants me to ask him. God wants me to relate to him. God wants me to wait on God. Wait upon God and believe him. And then get real rough with God, so to speak, like tough with him, like a little boy with his dad. Dad, you told me we could go to the circus. Dad, you told me, let's go. We're going to the circus. And the son is there waiting for his dad. And his dad says, do you want to go to the circus? Yes, Dad, I want to go to the... Then we will go. Then we will go to the circus. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to say something tonight. Holy Spirit is real. We can quench him. We can grieve him. We can get a hard heart. We can become nasty Christians, judging people, miserable, critical, nasty people. But wait a minute. We can be awesome people. Very kind, very patient, very loving, prayerful. We can be giving. We can be serving. We can see things happen because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Okay. What a good word. Lord, we're praying for your guidance regarding the building of the dorm on our property. We are bringing it to you in prayer and waiting on you. We are looking to raise money in the coming months. We're looking for assembling in our convention here at the end of June. We're looking for recovery to have 100 people delivered from all kinds of problems because of your Holy Spirit. There's no good thing we will withhold from him that walks uprightly. You will answer our prayers. We will pray and wait on you and wait for your Spirit to lead us and pray with unction, God. We will ask you to send missionaries into the highways and byways and multiply your work and workers, Lord. We ask for the Bible college to be filled with students. We ask for you to teach us weakness, trust, faith, strength, wisdom, love, courage. Open the Bible to our hearts and fill us with your Spirit again and again. And teach us to love each other always. Forgive each other. And forgive again. And forgive again. And forgive again. We don't need judging. We need mercy. We don't need the criticism. We need the advocation and to help us so we could get better and be loved. Bless our families. In Christ's name, amen.